Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Today marks the second sermon in our series, Victorious, A New Day Dawns. That's the title of the series, Victorious, A New Day Dawns. It started last week, and it's been put together really to coincide with the Easter season, in which we can remember that in Christ Jesus, we have the promise of victory. You see, just because we're promised the victory doesn't mean we have nothing to fight for. The promises of God, in some regards, they're like a check that's put into our hands. And just like a check, we still have to bank it. We still have to do that. And looking at the way that Jesus handled opposition helps us. It sets us up to enter into our own victory. It's not just because Jesus got the victory, so there's nothing for us to do. We still have to believe by faith. Last week's sermon was entitled Jesus versus the Accusers. And last week we looked at the various, you know, so-called voices that threaten to pull us down, to put us down, to keep us down. As is appropriate for Easter Sunday, the title of the theme today is Jesus versus Death. So every week it'll be Jesus versus. Last week was Jesus versus the accusers. Today is Jesus versus death. Jesus versus death, I mean, that's the ultimate fight, isn't it? I mean, you can just imagine, you know, Jesus versus death, like, you know, some sort of match. Yeah, Sky Box Office. Jesus versus death. Screening for all the world to see. A result for all eternity. This Sunday, 2 p.m. No, kidding. but you can imagine what it's, you know, Jesus versus death. What a bout, what a match that would be. And right now, when we look at the world that we're in, when we look at what's going on, the current situation, at this time, in this season, the world is being, history is being rewritten right now. And when we look at the number of fatalities that this pandemic is wreaking, and we see that the fatalities continue to rise each day, death is something that we have naturally been confronted with. Even without this situation, even without the pandemic, Easter, by its very nature, confronts us with the reality of death. In as much as today we're celebrating the resurrection, there could be no resurrection without a crucifixion, right? So death really is in some ways central to the Easter story. Now, I like to answer questions. You know, my son Christian said to me the other day, Dad, just last week, he said, Dad, you know everything. I was like, what? No, I don't, you know. Sometimes I wish I did, and sometimes I'm really glad I don't. Because the one that knows everything is the one that we worship, and can you imagine how many requests he gets in his inbox? So I'm really glad that I am not God. Hallelujah to that. But I like to answer questions. Also, where possible, I like to ask questions. So here's a question for you. Here's a question that I pondered as I prepared the sermon. What is death? What is death? I mean, think about that for a moment. Think about how you'll answer that question. What is death? And the truth of it is, it doesn't matter actually how you define death. We all know that death is not a friend. Death is described, I think in the dictionary, death is described as the absolute destruction or the permanent end of something. Gosh, sounds very final, doesn't it? Absolute destruction, permanent end of something. Rather, almost like the words of a sentence, almost like the words of a paragraph. Death is the full stop, right? Well, that's what death does. It absolutely destroys or it permanently ends. You know, this is the power that death has. And that power, the power that death has, comes from its reputation as an absolute destroyer, as a permanent ender. Is there such a word? I think so. Well, ender, I'm going to say the word, you know. So death has a reputation for that. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, writing to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26, Paul describes death as the last enemy to be destroyed. So we know that death is not a friend. On Friday, for those of you who were at the Good Friday service, in the morning service, we looked at some of the reasons that Jesus faced death and why he endured the cross. And let me just chip in now that it was really, really wonderful to see some of you on Friday evening at the worship hour that we had. It was really, really wonderful, really wonderful. So thank you for coming and worshiping the Lord with us. You know, those of you who, I think a few of you will know this, when I was younger, I did judo. I really loved martial arts. I got as far as a blue belt in judo. And I enjoyed it. Judo is the martial arts of wrestling. It's a close contact martial art, and it involves holds, locks, throws. You know, those sort of, you can arm lock, leg lock. You throw people down. You know that sort of thing. And in judo, whenever we were paired, if I went for a competition, judo rather like boxing, rather like wrestling. In judo, you are always paired with somebody in your weight category. So they would look at they'd look at my weight, they'd look at, you know, how big I was, how heavy I was, and they would pair me or set me up with somebody similar weight category. Every once in a while, you'd have somebody in your weight category, but every once in a while I found myself I'd be at the bottom of the category, and the person I was fighting was at the top of the category. So every once in a while, there'd be somebody who was really bigger or heavier than me. As you know, I'm not the tallest person. I'm not the tallest person in this church. But you know, in my eyes, when I look in the mirror, I see a guy who's 6 foot tall. So anyway, judo. I enjoy judo. So. You know, this would happen. Now, how it would work in judo, typically, for you to win a match, win a competition, you would typically have to throw your opponent. Those always got you the highest points. It was a throw. And in every throw, the typical judo throw, you used your weight against your opponent. Now imagine a scenario where the guy is slightly heavier, slightly taller, slightly more muscular, slightly bigger. You know, a little bit tricky. So you'd use your weight and the strength that comes with the weight, how you use that, the momentum against your opponent to throw them down, and then your strength to hold them or lock them into position. Now, as I said, in all of the throws, you would use your weight. Now, there were some techniques, there were some throws, there were some moves that you did. And one in particular that I want to talk about, just for a brief moment, called the tomonage. Tomonage, the tomonage move, or the technique, it's in a category of techniques called the sacrifice technique. It was one of those, the tomonage move or throw was in the group of the sacrifice throws, where you would sacrifice yourself. You would throw yourself down, but in so doing, you're using the weight of your opponent against them. Sometimes we see it, you know, you see it in James Bond. The easiest way to describe the tomonage, someone's coming to you, they grab you by the collar, you grab them by the collar, you drop down and flip them over your shoulder. Aha, you can visualize that now. You flip them backwards over your shoulder. So it means that you throw yourself down to the floor, you drop. The difference is, if you execute this throw correctly, they get winded. They can't get up immediately. You throw and you're up. You're the one that gets up without injury. So you get up, you score the point. You know, when I was thinking about Easter and I was thinking about what Jesus did on the cross, I recognize that Easter is not merely a celebration of the resurrection. What we're doing today and what we should be doing today. All over the world, millions of Christians are celebrating what this day has come to represent. And it's not simply a celebration of the resurrection. I mean, the resurrection is good, don't get me wrong. Excuse me. But if that was where the Easter message ended, honestly, hear my heart, then there isn't too much point to what we're doing. The church services, the communion, the songs, the holiday, the dressing up, the food, the joy, you know, all of the songs and the happiness and the love that we, you know, that spread out there. Honestly, if it only ended at the resurrection, then, this is a bit harsh, but it's almost pointless. It's almost, you know, so what? To understand Easter simply as a resurrection, I think, is to do a disservice to the work of Jesus Christ. I know some of you are already thinking, where's he going? Where's he going? Let me tell you why. Jesus, and we know, most of us, I'm sure you know, let me remind you for those who know. Jesus was a teacher, but he was not the only teacher. He was a prophet. He was not the only prophet. He was not the only rabbi. He was not the only miracle worker. Jesus was not the only one even to walk on water. I mean, Peter walked on water too. And he wasn't immortal. Beyond these characteristics, Jesus was not the only one even to be crucified. You know this. Many, many people were crucified before him. And it was a means of execution. And even if we're to look only at Good Friday, when he was executed, there were two other people being executed with him. And we know what happened on that day. Jesus died. He died. Well, he was not the only one to die. Many other people died. Aha, I hear you say. Yes, they died. All those prophets died. All those teachers, all those rabbis, all those other miracle workers died. Peter died. Yes, I hear you say. Jesus was resurrected, right? Hallelujah. Yes, he was. And that immediately set him apart from the others. But, as I said, I'm not trying to cause offense here. Don't want you to be upset with me. But, you know, as much as I see Jesus' resurrection as, that's a massive miracle. I mean, in fact, his resurrection was further proof of God's word coming to pass. His resurrection was him fulfilling the prophecy about who he was. And as much as I see that, I understand it. I agree with the truth of his resurrection. For me, the way I see it, that wasn't the biggest deal of all. You know why? Because Jesus wasn't the only one to be resurrected. Elijah, 800 years, something like 800 years before Jesus was even born, Elijah resurrected the woman, the son of the widow of Zarephath. His own protege, Elisha, who came after him, resurrected the son of the Shunammite woman. Resurrection wasn't new. The body of someone who had died was thrown into the tomb of Elisha. And as soon as that body touched Elisha's bones, he was resurrected. Other than Lazarus, even Jesus, as you know, Jesus resurrected Lazarus, yes. But other than Lazarus, Jesus resurrected two other people. Even beyond this, Peter, Paul, followers of Jesus, they also resurrected people in their work of ministry. Now, here's the thing. As much as all of these people were resurrected from the dead, aha, exactly, you see it now. As much as they were resurrected from the dead, every single one of them died again. Every single one except Jesus. Now that's what I'm talking about. You see, just like the judo throw I was telling you about a moment ago, the tomonagi. You know, tomonagi, Jesus executed the tomonagi. He got up with no injuries sustained. He executed this thing and he got up. Just like the tomonagi that uses a fall to execute a fall, Jesus used death as a means to take absolute command of death. Death, which we have always known. Death is, we've known it to be the full stop. We've known death to be the full stop in the story of our lives, you know. But by the work that Jesus did, death is no longer a full stop. By the work that Jesus did on this first Easter, he turned that full stop into a comma. Saints, the story no longer ends there. You see, if something is described as absolute destruction, so death, destruction, permanent end, right? If something is described as absolute destruction, and Jesus then showed that it can, that thing can no longer destroy, he hasn't just undermined its meaning and his purpose. He has absolutely destroyed it. If something is described as a permanent end and Jesus has shown that it is no longer the end, he hasn't just undermined its meaning and purpose. He has ended it. He has destroyed the destruction. He has ended the end. He removed by disempowering it. He removed the destruction of the destruction. He removed the permanence of the permanent end. He ended the end. You know, earlier on, I talked about how you can just imagine, you know, Jesus versus death, the match. You know, if it was a match. And in fact, you know what? I want you to imagine with me how the news, if this was a fight, if this was a match, I want you to imagine with me how it would have been reported. You know, there'd be somebody in the studio, I don't know, we'll call him Bob. Bob's there, he's like, oh, breaking news just in into our studio. We're just getting news in that the big fight, Jesus versus death, the fight for all eternity, that all eternity was waiting for, the fight has ended. Now we're just gonna hand over to our reporter in the field, Alex, to bring us the latest results. Then Alex would come on the screen. Alex would be like, yes, thanks, Bob, for this. What an amazing result we've had today. The bookies are probably going to go out of business on this one, Bob, I tell you, because nobody saw this result coming. I don't even think that any of the punters that put money on this match, you know, would have expected Jesus to do what he did today, Bob. Death. The undestroyed destroyer has been defeated, Bob. Its reign has come to an end. And it happened in spectacular fashion in seven thrilling rounds, Bob. Seven thrilling rounds. Let me just talk you through what happened in those rounds, Bob. In the first round, we saw Jesus standing tall, answering questions that were posed to him by Pontius Pilate. And things were really looking good for him at that point. We saw him and it looked like he had really prepared for this fight. Even though death was the undefeated one, it looked like Jesus had a chance. Round two, however, we saw things change slightly when Jesus was brought before Caiaphas. things had changed. We saw him looking somewhat a little more somber. We're not sure what was going on, sullen even. And the crowd at this point would have been right to think, oh, maybe he'd bitten off more than he could chew. We didn't even hear a single word out of Jesus. All the questions that were put to him, he didn't answer a word. We don't know what was that, what was behind that. Maybe he had truly got nothing to say, or maybe because he was already defeated. I really don't know what happened for him in the second round. We cannot know for sure. However, by this point, it wasn't looking good for Jesus, Bob. It wasn't. Round three, by the third round, we saw things go from bad to worse. Jesus was whipped, he was spat on, he was bleeding from the head, his feet were bruised, he carried that heavy wooden cross on his back. Bob, I honestly expected the coach to throw in the towel at this point. I mean, the health and safety experts are probably going to have something to say because this looked like a very, very risky strategy, certainly from my point of view, Bob. In round four, Jesus was down on his back, his arms were stretched out, and those Roman soldiers nailed him to that cross. I am telling you this, Bob, what a sight to behold. Blow after blow came. But the thing is, you know, Jesus just seemed to take it. He just took it. One thing I will say for that man, Bob, he can handle pain. And those Roman soldiers, they brought the pain. Oh, again, we didn't see much from Jesus. You know, I looked at him and I thought, this man is on the ropes now. And those of us that watched, we were thinking, listen, somebody's got to throw in the towel. The bell's got to ring. This match has got to be canceled. Fifth round was where it was nearly over for him. I am telling you, Bob, seeing Jesus up there on the cross, we knew something was wrong. This was the King of the Jews. I mean, the fanfare that this man got from his fans when they hailed him on entry to Jerusalem, that fanfare had turned to anger. I mean, they went from hail him, now they were saying nail him, nail him. I mean, they wanted to, they wanted him to lose. I could tell you, Bob, some people have no loyalty, these fans. Well, we then move on to round six, Bob, and I'm telling you this, death took him. Death, it was over at that point. The fans were upset. Some of them left. I wouldn't be surprised if they were thinking of asking for their money back, Bob. I mean, it was not a good sight to behold. At this point, I could tell you, Bob, no one could see what came next because it was in round seven. Everything changed. Talk about a comeback. Round seven was when it happened. I mean, the ultimate comeback. Nobody expected it. Bob, listen, the women went to the tomb. They went to the tomb. They just wanted to go, and they got there. The stone had been rolled away. Bob, Jesus was not there. Bob, what can I tell you? I mean, in that single takedown, death was defeated. The ultimate knockout, Bob, and history will remember this forever. I'm telling you, Bob, this bout will go down in history forever. You know, Jesus has turned the underdog principle on its head. I'm telling you, we used to see death as the ultimate victor. Bob, now Jesus has messed all of that up. And you know what? I realize he was never the underdog, Bob. No, he wasn't. He was just misunderstood. And I'm sure the analysts are going to have a field day with this one. So, Bob, death is defeated. And to make it worse, death is defeated and defeated on home ground. It's one thing to lose an away bout, but when you're defeated right on your own turf, ooh, that's the ultimate defeat, Bob. There's no coming back from that one. And there we have it. Jesus has performed the ultimate victory. Jesus is champion of all. That simple man from Galilee, the son of Joseph the carpenter, not simply the King of the Jews. He is obviously now the King of all kings. Bob, back to you in the studio. Okay, I put a little bit of humor into that. But honestly, it's no less true. In the battle between Jesus and death, Jesus defeated death. Simple. He defeated death on death's own home turf. So my question to you today, where in your life does it look like you're facing death? Where in your life does it look like you're facing absolute destruction? Where in your life does it look like you're facing something that's going to permanently end? Where in your life? Today, I want to encourage you, bring it to Jesus. Saints of God, He's right here, right now. Bring it to Jesus. Lay it at His feet. Come by faith and trust Him for a manifestation of the resurrection power in your life. By death, Jesus defeated death. And now we are totally free from the penalty of death. Totally free from the penalty of death. Paul, again, writing to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57, thereabouts. Paul asks the question. He says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" In verse 57, he himself, Paul, also responds. He says, "Thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus versus death. Jesus won. Death was defeated. And we enter into that victory by faith in Jesus Christ. So today, I ask you, will you come and let Him in?
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.